Senate Republicans are still trying to find a way to move forward with some version of health care reform. The focus now is on a so-called skinny repeal of the Affordable Care Act, which would likely eliminate the mandate both that people have health insurance and that employers offer it, and it would get rid of one tax on medical devices. Julie Rovner is chief Washington correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She joins us now. Hi, Julie.
Hey, Jeremy.
So where are we on all of this? I mean, what do we know about what this skinny repeal would be, other than, of course, zero calories, as everything skinny is?
That's right. Officially, we know nothing. We have rumors about what would be in it. There have been a couple of other rumors that go along with what you just mentioned. Defunding of Planned Parenthood is rumored to be in it. An elimination of the Prevention Public Health Fund is rumored to be in it. And a possible further delay of the Cadillac tax. That's an unpopular tax on very generous health plans. It's also rumored to be in it. But we honestly don't know what's in it because Republicans haven't told anybody yet.
But if it does get rid of the individual mandate and the employer mandate, wouldn't that effectively trigger the collapse of Obamacare?
Yeah, not the employer mandate. Actually, there's been a lot of research that's found that the employer mandate actually hasn't done that much. It's only for large employers. Most large employers already offer health insurance. Mm. There's been a lot of thought that you could get rid of the employer mandate and not much would happen. The individual mandate is a whole nother story. If there is no requirement for healthy people to get in and yet insurers have to sell to sick people, that is basically the prescription for the dreaded death spiral that we keep talking about. And indeed, just this morning, the insurance industry came out again and said this would not be a good idea to just get rid of the mandate without getting rid of the insurance regulations that go along with them. The Congressional Budget Office said last night that if they went ahead and did that, there were about 16 million people would lose insurance and premiums would go up at 20% a year.
And I've seen reporting also that the insurance markets could be in chaos after that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that the insurance industry has been saying, it's not just whether or not they do this, it's the uncertainty of not doing anything. We're getting into the final weeks before insurers have to decide once and for all if they're going to offer coverage for next year, for 2018. You've got somewhere in the neighborhood of 17 million people in the individual market, in and outside of the exchanges, and these insurers could pull out entirely from the entire individual market. And then you'd be hurting not just, you know, the people who are on the exchanges, the people who are off the exchanges. It's everything is kind of teetering on the brink right now.
Does it look like Republicans have the votes in the Senate for this?
That's also completely unclear. That's what they're trying to put together is something that can get 50 votes and that let Vice President Pence break a tie. We haven't seen that something yet. That's the idea, is that maybe they could coalesce around this skinny repeal bill and then go into a conference with the House. That's not what they originally wanted to do. The Senate originally wanted to pass a bill, send it to the House, tell the House, look, this is the most we can do, take it or leave it, and then have the House pass it and be done with it. That's not what they're talking about anymore. Now they're talking about going into a House-Senate conference that could take, at best, weeks, at worst, months.
And if they do the conference, both houses would still have to pass the final bill, right?
Yes. In the end, each house has to pass a bill, has to pass exactly the same bill. It can be in the form of a bill. They could send this bill to the House. The House could amend it and send it back, and then the Senate could pass it. That would do. Or they could have a formal conference where they come up with a conference report, and then each house approves the conference report. That's an up or down vote on a conference report, no amendments.
If the Senate passes the skinny repeal, we already are hearing from the House. Congressman Mark Meadows, who's the head of the Conservative House Freedom Caucus, has said, quote, there would not be enough votes to pass it and send it to the president. But he added that to use it as a vehicle to continue negotiations is certainly welcome. What might happen in the House if they were able to pass the skinny repeal in the Senate?
Well, I think a lot of other people think that there would be enormous pressure on the House, seeing how much trouble the Senate has had passing anything, to take whatever the Senate sends them. The question is, do they want to spend a lot more time trying to go back and forth and hash things out with no real prospect of getting 50 votes in the Senate? If the Senate can get 50 votes for anything, then you get the question over in the House, look, we may not like this, but is it better than nothing? So I think there would be, I understand that what Mark Meadows is saying, and it's entirely possible that that is the case, but I think it is equally possible that the House could be, you know, pushed into voting for it if it really thinks that there's nothing more that the Senate can do, or if they really need to move on to other things like tax reform.
So, Julie, just a few seconds left, but what's the timeline here?
The timeline here is that we should know in the next couple of hours what this skinny bill looks like. They're going to run out of debate time. They could be in all night voting on amendments and presumably some resolution tomorrow.
Julie Rovner, Chief Washington Correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Thanks, as always.
Anytime.